Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners, Andy.
Thank you, Dr. Weiss. Always great to get to spend some time with you on Monday mornings. What do you have for us this week?
You would have to ask that. And you know me, I have a pile of, what do they call it, plethora? I don't even know how to spell that word. We have a lot of information in front of me here, and we'll just take a couple news items. As I think most of your listeners know, in at least what I deal with, and I think a lot of the seminary professors at Concordia Theological Seminary here in St. Louis, at Concordia Seminary, we have to kind of try and stay up on, I guess, the status quo of what's going on in the lives of Christians and those who are not Christians, but also in my area, in the area of bioethics, or some people call it medical ethics, and then social issues. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, from our view, of course, many of these social issues have the underpinning of theology and confessions. For example, in the 20th, April 20th of this year, front page of USA Today, and I know your listeners have heard this, but we tend to repeat things, which I find quite hopeful and helpful, because this is what we've said before, this is what St. Paul did, a lot of repeating. And I can recall where Moses and the burning bush, and the Lord, what, at least three times told Moses, whether he wanted to listen or not, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He told him that at least three times. You know, I'm in control. You can do this. Okay? And of course, Moses says, nah, you don't want me. Yeah, I want you. You're the guy. You're the guy.
There's value in repetition, certainly.
There is value, especially when it comes to theology, because what we're hearing now is a lot of people don't want to have that, and there's more of a destruction and deconstruction of theological words, phrases, and teachings. Well, this one says, April 20th, just a few days ago, no turning back on gay marriage. And so in this basically goes into the polling side of the thing, where more than used to be 35% were for gay marriage, same-sex unions and partners, and now it's over 50%. And so the basically are saying here, and I'll quote this, close to more than half say that they have a gay or lesbian family member or close friend who is married to someone of the same sex, and that's okay with me. It doesn't affect me, so why should I be concerned? So they give some quotes in here, and what's interesting is they'd say the Bible. Now, here you go, folks. Listen to this. And so they give a name of a person here. He's 58. He lives in Flagstaff, Arizona. He acknowledged being a bit uncomfortable when he attended a wedding reception for two men, friends of his wife who had married. I still believe what the Bible says. One man, one woman. The mechanic, who was among those polled, said in a follow-up interview, on the other hand, he said, I got to know the guys, and they're all right. They don't make passes or anything at me. So as long as, and I had worked with gay men and women who were HIV positive and some with full-blown AIDS, as long as they don't make advances at me, they're okay. They, of course, they believe they're okay, but according to the scriptures, and time doesn't give us or afford us the time to go ahead into this, but clearly, under the phrase sexual immorality, where you have the two words that are in Greek that are combined into one to form homosexual, it is an abomination to the Lord. It is sin. And so this article doesn't, of course, get into that, but it what I think is important is that people say they believe in the Bible, but as long as they don't impact me, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is, look at how traditional marriage, we would say biblical marriage, husband-wife, has impacted our society and how people relate to that today. So to say that the marriage of two men and two women, which really is not a marriage, certainly in God's eyes, then how can they say this doesn't impact society? But of course it impacts society, because now you have 38 states who approve of same-sex marriages. And then people are starting to sit back and say, oh, well, yeah, I guess that's okay. If that's what they want to do, that's okay with me. So not only are we getting into the jumping, building the bridge from the pro-choice of elective abortion to the pro-choice language of same-sex marriage.
Isn't this a reflection of our individualistic society? Because you just shared that we very quickly jump to, that's fine, they can do whatever they want to as long as it doesn't affect me. How do issues like this, is just one of several issues, you brought up a couple, that the choices that every person makes, a choice that you make, a choice that I make, affects society as well, as a whole.
It does affect society as a whole, and it has, not only just in certainly the left-hand realm of civil government where we Christians are living the life of Christ in this world, but certainly also in the right-hand kingdom or realm where we have many churches that are saying this is not an issue, obviously, and I'm not grinding my axe here, but we all know that Presbyterian USA has recently moved into that direction. And I think that it does impact people. And what I find the impact is, it tends to be a deconstruction. That is, it's not only tearing down what my wife and I have been blessed by the Lord in terms of a marriage of one flesh union, not only deconstructs that to the point where people are saying, well, what's the problem, as you have already said? And then the children start asking questions and parents are saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. So they're not back into the basics of the scriptures and the confessions. So it does impact us. Anything that happens, look at the impact that abortion has had with over, 3,500 to 3,600 elective abortions every day. And the impact that has had on the lives of especially those women who have gone through that with post-abortion syndrome and so forth, and the families around that, and the people that walk with this. How does it impact the family? Well, I know families that have children that are expressively gay, and now they ask me, what do we do about it? So it does impact people. So I think that we are presenting a false logic when we say, doesn't impact me, doesn't. But that's our society of individualism. It's very individualistic. Do what you got to do. It's all about me. As I believe the Christian community we've heard on several stations, certainly the radio and the internet, are clearly being persecuted, clearly being tramped on. But I'm here to say that over the thousands of years that we have been informed by God through the scriptures and how Satan has tried to trample on him and squash him, Satan has been squashed himself. So I think we can take good comfort in knowing that his word is not going to return empty to himself.
I think this is an issue that we're going to struggle with for some time. This is one of several issues that we're probably going to struggle with some time, especially as Christians in living in this society, this individualistic society that we live in North America. You brought up a good point of how does the issue of same-sex marriage impact marriage, the definition of marriage, and the marriage that you have with your wife? How does it impact that? And I think that's probably the big question and the argument, one of the big arguments in this issue today, especially from the same-sex side of it. The question is, well, how then does a same-sex marriage, for a gay person to say, how would my marriage affect as a gay person? How would that marriage affect or deconstruct your marriage? I think that's the big question that because the answer doesn't seem that clear to those who would be proponents of same-sex marriage.
No, and once again, as you have said many times on his time, not just what we're talking about with other guests, is that we have to go back to the basics. I mean, this is kind of what we do. And I think the Lord is, through the work of the Holy Spirit, continues to move us back back to the basics of the scriptures and the confessions to get people into the Bible to read the scriptures, even if it's through devotional material. There's a lot of that out there. And so, you know, you start off with a Bible verse and you read that devotion for that day and you end with a prayer. Is to read and study, whether it's one verse or 10 verses or a whole chapter of a book, is to read and hear what God has to say. And then it's okay to say, gee, and scratch your head. I just don't know if I understand it. Then read it again. Read the context. Learn the history. So this is going to be very, very important because it impacts law gospel preaching. It impacts our what means to be a human. What, our human sexuality is impacted by all of this. So, and I think young people nowadays have to know and be informed with what God has to say on these issues.
Very good. Well, we'll have to continue the conversation down the road. Thank you, Dr. Weiss. God's blessings on your week. And thanks for always bringing important matters like this to our attention and helping us discuss them in hopefully in a godly way.
Sure. God's peace to you and your listeners.
Thank you. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.